Mud Music and Memories will be discussed when Marist College holds a Woodstock Anniversary Conference this week. The two-day event features key figures from the 1969 festival. Dr. Thomas Wormuth is Vice President for Academic Affairs at Poughkeepsie-based Marist College and Director of the Hudson River Valley Institute at the college.
We're working with Bethel Woods, but also with the Office of the New York State Historian, because we believe this is the only conference which is dedicated directly to this transformative event in American history, Woodstock.
Bethel Woods Center for the Arts in Sullivan County is the site of the original event. The Hudson River Valley Institute is the lead organizer of the conference, 1969, when Woodstock changed the world.
The Hudson River Institute thought it was important enough in and of itself that we wanted to have a historical record, more or less, of an analysis of not only Woodstock, but Woodstock really is kind of emblematic of the 1960s and early 70s, so central to American history. So our goal is to kind of have a historical record of looking at not only the music that took place, but the various social movements, the counterculture, how all of this came together in our own little spot here in the Hudson Valley. And I would go further and point out that it's, although it ended up in Sullivan County, it wasn't by chance that it was in the Hudson Valley. It was named Woodstock because they were aiming it at this very historic arts colony in town that is central to Valley history as well.
Dr. Stephen Garabedian is Assistant Professor of History at Marist College.
And I'm a specialist in 20th century U.S. history with a longstanding personal fascination, but also a professional interest in music and social protest. I'm excited to, for instance, have the chance to meet and perhaps ask a question of participants who were there at the festival, like Nick and Bobby Urquhart, who were immortalized on the album cover for the live concert record. They're the Quilt Couple. And that's the kind of thing that I knew growing up in California all these years later. So it's always very exciting for me that to have ended up in the Hudson Valley in New York and to understand that these are local people. And in my mind, they have a mythic status.
He says the sessions include eminent historians and the conference includes subject matter beyond the music of the festival.
It was important, I think, to really dig into the social history of this era. So we have panels on Vietnam and the anti-war movement with figures who were both involved in fighting the war in Vietnam and figures who were involved opposing the war in Vietnam. We have panels on feminism and we have panels on the Black freedom struggle. There's a panel on the Back to the Land movement and environmentalism. I'm the moderator for a panel on music and the counterculture of the era, which I'm really excited about. And we put together these panels with scholars who can speak in accessible ways about their fields of interest. This is meant to be a conference that is smart, but a conference that is meant to be engaging. And so we want to look at not just Woodstock out as a subject of nostalgia, but some of the contradictions that we can really dissect when it comes to this era. All three panelists, Nick Brommel from the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, Matt Callahan, who's an independent scholar, and Joe Hagen, who's a journalist, they all look at the importance of music in this time, but also look at the contradictions when music became big business. They also look at the contradictions when music is both a form of artistic expression and commerce. They also look at the contradictions when music is meant to be politically engaged, but is also part of our commercial world. So the way that that was embodied by the late 60s is the idea, for instance, of hip capitalism, that you could be hip, have long hair, be part of the counterculture, and still be a part of a capitalist enterprise.
What do you think is a lasting effect that's maybe not always brought to light or talked about?
You know, you can look at it as these several days of hundreds of thousands of people coming from around the United States with little sense of where they were going and how it was that where they were going to stay for those several nights. And it was, according to all accounts and the authorities as well, an incredibly peaceful, with relatively limited social disturbance, recognized by the local communities from the people who came in. So on the one hand, the fact that so many people of different backgrounds that came because they saw this as a social, again, emblematic of a social movement, of a time, of major changes which had just taken place in the last few years. So I think the very fact that that site and the people who came together and their memory of that event, which sometimes far exceeded what actually had happened there, and a memory which was entertained by people who perhaps had not fully participated there, has been something which has resonated in American history.
Anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I can think of a lot of things that I think are part of the legacy of Woodstock. Some positive and some still complicated and subject to debate. There is a cultural tourism industry that is now related to sites like this that are not just about sort of sacred moments in the timeline of U.S. history, but more modern, recent parts of United States history, and things that that relate to popular culture. There is an after effect of this time that people are much more willing to take popular culture seriously as having social significance. I think that's an element that is part of the legacy of Woodstock, not directly attributable to Woodstock. I also think that the commercialization of music as big business and music festivals is part of the legacy of Woodstock. This was a turning point in the point of view of many music historians that people saw that rock and roll and stadium concerts were to follow after Woodstock. But beyond that, too, the commercialization of a countercultural identity as well. So not just the music cultures, but the commercialization of a countercultural identity. And really the open question of whether your participation in a lifestyle event is equivalent to a political act. Is going to a rock concert by a progressive artist equivalent to being progressive and being engaged politically as a progressive? I think that's an interesting question that I wrestle with all the time.
Garabedian sees another legacy.
I do think it's really interesting that we are seeing now the normalization of recreational drug use as a mainstream viewpoint. I think that's a direct legacy of the Woodstock era. The normalization of the use of marijuana and the decriminalization of marijuana in the present is shocking. You know, whatever your position on the use of these kinds of recreational or medicinal drugs, it is shocking if you've lived for any number of years to see how something that was so off the charts in terms of its legality and social stigma is now frequently part of TV shows and pop culture. You know, stable mainstream people who are lighting up a joint.
The closing session Friday night is a look back on the music and social protest and how that resonates in modern America. Panelists include Elliot Landy, the official photographer of the Woodstock Festival.
Also there will be Rachel Marco Havens, daughter of Richie Havens, whose central and kind of iconic performance at Woodstock still resonates today, as well as his grandson, Chogi Lama, who's a guitarist and producer and will be playing with some other musicians as well.
The conference takes place Thursday and Friday, June 13th and 14th, at Marist College in Poughkeepsie. The public is invited. Registration is required. The 7 p.m. talks both days are free. Reporting for WAMC News, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn in Poughkeepsie.